St. John's Gospel, chapter number 14, is very famous, well-known scripture, particularly used at funerals. And that doesn't mean I'm going to drown any of these young men tonight. Hopefully. Amen. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to drown them. I have been given some instructions about one of them has some money, and so I ought to be worth something. Amen. But anyway, amen. John chapter number 14, verse number 1 is where I want to start with. Read down through verse number 11 and give you a thought. I don't expect to be long tonight, but a thought that's on her heart that I hope might be a blessing to you, as it was to me when the Lord gave me the thought earlier this week and has been rolling around all week, to be honest with you. Verse number 1, our Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." By the way, he didn't say there will be when he gets done building them. He says they already are. Many mansions. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." I want you to pay attention to that. "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" Here's a phrase, I underline this. "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, as I said, this portion of Scripture is very familiar, but there's a phrase here that I want to look at tonight. I think it's been often overlooked, a teaching here about the Father. And I want to preach on this thought. Have you seen the Father by seeing the Son? Have you seen the Father, maybe you say, by seeing Christ? Amen. By seeing the Son. So he said in verse number 7, "If ye had known me." Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going." Jesus is saying, "If you'd known me, you'd know where I'm going." And he said, "How can we know the way?" Jesus is saying, "If you had known me, you'd know the way." Amen. Amen. He's going to the Father. That's what he said later. He's going to the Father, and he is the way. He's the way to the Father. Then he says, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Then Philip said, "Show us the Father." And so Jesus said, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." So that's the phrase that I want to use tonight in our message and try to preach on that thought. Have you seen the Father by seeing Christ? Now, this text is used primarily talking about going to heaven, especially in funerals. We use it talking about going to heaven, the place that Christ is going to prepare, and all those things that we talk about there someday being out in the future. But the secret for going to heaven in the future lies with the present.
Amen.
It's seeing the Father now. It's coming to know who Christ is, what He came for. Amen. And so I want to try to deal with this and look at the fact that we might focus on the fact that we are the ones He's preparing that place for. That we are the ones that are going to heaven when it is our time to die. That we have seen the Father. Jesus did not just come to the earth to experience what humans go through. I've read that. I've read men that have said that God needed to know what man goes through. How does God need to know anything? Who's going to tell Him something He don't know? Amen. Nobody's going to tell Him. He doesn't need to know what humans go through and experience in life. He didn't come for that. He didn't come. By the way, he did. He has gone through temptations like as we have, yet without sin. Amen. He did experience all those things, and that helps us to know that He knows that, but He could have known it without ever having experienced it. So that was not necessary. But I'll say also, Jesus didn't come just to reveal to us how to live the good life, how to live a holy life, how to live a sinless life. He didn't come just to show us those things. There are some that seem to believe that. Amen. He came to reveal the Father. That's what He said. He came to reveal the Father to men. 1 Timothy 3:16, you know the verse very well. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So Christ is God manifest, revealed, shown, declared, amen, in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 27. You don't have to turn there. We'll go to Matthew 11 later. But Matthew 11, 27, Jesus said this. He said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him." You won't know God unless you know Him through Jesus Christ. Muslims claim they're worshiping the same God we worship, but they don't because they don't go through Jesus. Amen. Even Jews say they worship the same God we worship, but in reality they don't even know that God. They're blinded because they don't go through Jesus. He said that's the only way to get to God. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter number 10 verse 22 is a mirror verse to Matthew 11, 27. Our Lord said, "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him." So I'm simply saying that Jesus came to reveal the Father. People need to see God. They need to see Him. Now, you say, well, God's invisible. That's right. But Moses saw Him who is invisible. Amen. And we can through faith. Amen. So we know that God is invisible, but He can be seen. He can be seen symbolically in the Scripture. The Word of God reveals us God. He can be seen really symbolically in creation. All creation proves that there's a God. We can run that route. But Jesus Christ came to reveal to us better than creation, and even in a sense better than the Scripture. He's the Word incarnate. He came to reveal to us the Father. Amen. Now, having said that, there's three things I want to think about if Jesus is going to reveal to us the Father. Number one, and these are not alliterated, but they're still right. Number one, Jesus, if He's going to reveal to us the Father, He must be exactly like the Father. He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. That means He must be just like Him. Amen. You ever heard people say that? People, they say, He's the spitting image of His daddy. Well, there are probably a lot of resemblances, but not the spitting image. I don't know how you spit on an image, but anyway, I don't know. But it's not a mirror, not an exact representation, but Jesus the Son is an exact representation of the Father. Now, I'm saying that for a reason. I think there's good need to say that. God is perfectly represented in Jesus Christ. Not symbolically, not very well, perfectly represented in Jesus Christ. If you want to know the Father, Jesus said, if you knew me, you'd know him.
Right.
Amen. And so God, the Father, is perfectly represented in Christ. Christ is not different from the Father. He's a perfect representation of the Father. I've got verses here that I won't have you turn to right now, but John 10:30. You know that John 10, he's dealing with all, but he said, I and my Father are one. If you've seen one, you've seen the other. That's the point that he's making. I and my Father are one. They're exactly alike. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ in body, in flesh, is God in the flesh. Amen.
Right.
Hebrews, we'll have you turn there. Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4. Turn there with me if you will. Hebrews 1. You probably know these verses well too, but it'd be good for us to see them. Hebrews 1 verses 1 through 4. This is one sentence. That's another reason why I believe Paul probably wrote the book of Hebrews. That's the way he writes sentences. Verses and verses and verses in one sentence. Verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, look at this, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. That phrase there in verse number 3, He is the express image of His, talking about God the Father's person. Amen. Jesus Christ perfectly represents the Father. Amen. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one.
Right.
Amen. There's no discrepancy between them. You see, when Jesus came into the world, He perfectly upheld His Father's Word. He perfectly upheld and accomplished His Father's will, but He perfectly upheld His Father's Word. Jesus never took the Bible like the Pharisees did and say, I know this is what He said, but that's not really what He meant. This is what He actually meant. No, Jesus upheld it. He said in Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 17, you know it well. He said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. Amen. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Amen. So He perfectly upheld the Word of His Father. Sinful man had rejected God's Word. Just outright rejected it. He wasn't willing to listen to it. Religious man had rearranged God's Word. That's why in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord had to deal with those things. This is what you've heard said, but this is what is really written. Amen. And He would go through all that. They had rearranged God's Word. They had reconstructed God's Word. But Jesus faithfully upheld and revealed God's Word. Amen. He came to fulfill the Word of God. Now, some people seem to have the idea that God is a hateful Father, just loving and just looking for somebody that He can smite. Somebody that He can cast off into hell. Somebody that He can drop kick into hell, so to speak. They think that God the Father is some kind of an angry tyrant God, but Jesus is the more merciful and Jesus is the more gracious, and therefore Jesus is our go-between that is going to make it easier for us to get to heaven. No, He didn't come to make it easier. Amen. It's not that Jesus is the compassionate one and the Father is the hateful one. No. God the Father and God the Son both perfectly agree that sinners that rebel against God and reject the Lord Jesus Christ deserve to die in their sin and go to hell. Jesus never said they didn't deserve it. Amen. Amen. They agree that sinners that reject Christ deserve to go to hell, but they also agree that sinners that will accept God's sacrifice can go to heaven, not because they deserve it, but because the sacrifice was enough. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. They agree on that. Matter of fact, I thought about it this morning. Brother Bell was talking about in the garden, and I go back to that many times as the Scripture does, that original sin and that original fallen as they, Adam and Eve, partook of that forbidden fruit. When God came walking in the garden, God wasn't looking for Adam to kill Adam.
Right.
No. It wasn't an angry God and just thank God a ram happened in at the right time or a lamb happened in at the right time and so God had mercy. No, when God said, Adam, where art thou? He was not wanting to kill Adam. He was wanting to help Adam. Amen. Amen. Sinners today, God is angry with the wicked every day. I understand that. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that He doesn't want to have mercy. Our God is a merciful God, and His mercy endureth forever, is what the Bible says. Amen. And I'm glad that He is. He's a very gracious God. Amen. So, God the Father and God the Son agree in perfection. They perfectly agree. When you hear our Lord Jesus crying from the cross there in Luke chapter number 23, verse 34, when He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is not a merciful son trying to convince an unmerciful father. No. It's the merciful son saying to the merciful father, I've paid the price. Now you can do what you want to do. Now you can forgive sinners. Amen. You can still be holy. You can still be just and the justifier of them that will come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so Jesus Christ came upholding the holiness of God, not soiling it or bringing it down. He upheld the holiness of God, but He also opened to us the way that God can be merciful as He has longed to be merciful. He said way back in Ezekiel, God said, I don't get any pleasure out of sinners dying in their sin. Amen. I could give you a lot of illustrations. If it had been me or you, I go back to the beginning again. When Cain killed Abel, what would you have done? Would you have offered Cain another opportunity? When Cain came, brought his own sacrifice before he killed Abel. Came and brought his own sacrifice, rebelling against God, rejecting God's way, said, I'm going my way. God didn't come and flip Cain off into hell. He gave him another chance. He said, if you do well, won't you be accepted? Amen. He said, you've seen it. Here's the pattern. Here's the way it is. You've seen it. Your brother's been accepted, and I'll accept you. Amen. I say again, God the Father is not an angry God just wanting to send sinners to hell. He wants to save sinners. He wants to have mercy on sinners. The only way He can is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God wants to offer mercy to sinners, but He could not do that without His Son offering Himself as a sacrifice that satisfied the law's demands.
Amen.
Brother Bell mentioned it this morning again, back to Adam and Eve. And he said it, and I do the same because I believe it's in there. The Bible does not specifically say God killed a lamb. It doesn't say He killed anything. It just said He made coats of skin. Amen. But somebody had to die. Somebody had to die. He said, in the day thou eatest thou of there, thou shalt surely die. And I know we say that day could be 1,000 years and nobody lived to be 1,000 years. You could run that. But I believe that day somebody had to die, and they did die as a sacrifice. And that's how Abel knew to bring a lamb. Amen. I believe that's how they recognized that pattern that was laid down in there. But I go back to my point. It was that God in His mercy had a plan, and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ is not plan B when plan A failed to work. Amen. Amen. I do a lot of reading. I'm reading a Reformed writer right now that he goes over and over and over again. He said because the redemption, the covenant of works failed. Now we've got to have a covenant of grace. No, there never was a covenant. God never said, if you just be good enough, you can go to heaven. Nobody ever would be good enough to go to heaven. The law wouldn't come to tell us how to be good enough to go to heaven. The law came to tell us, you ain't good enough. And you never will be good enough in yourself. We've got to have a sacrifice. We got to have a lamb. That's what the law came to tell us. Amen. It's a schoolmaster to take us to Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, that is right. That's exactly right. Well, God wants to offer salvation. Jesus Christ is the express image of the Father. If you've seen me, He said, you've seen the Father. He's got to be a perfect representation of God the Father. Number two, I want you to think about this. Some, Jesus said, now if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But some that saw Jesus didn't see the Father. Right? I'm not contradicting our Lord's words. I think you can see some people can't see what they do see. You can take your Bible and show people. Let me give you an illustration. I'll go to Catholicism. You can tell a Catholic, somebody steeped in Catholicism, you can say, you know, y'all pray to Mary. You know what they'll say? Oh, no, we don't pray to Mary. They'll deny it to the nth. To the very end, they'll deny it. We do not pray to Mary. You say, but don't you say, Hail Mary, Mother of God? Oh, yeah, yeah. But they say, they're just requesting prayer for Mary, like that you say, pray for me. You say, you maybe come to me and say, Preacher, would you pray with me about it? They say, that's what we're doing with Mary. And they'll argue to the end that they don't pray to Mary because they can't see what they see. They have to see. They do pray to Mary. They bow to her statue. They worship her as the Mother of God. Amen. But they can't see that because they're blinded in their religion. Amen. Some people can't see what they do see. And so some people saw Jesus, but they did not see the Father. Turn over to John. We're in John 14. Turn back to John chapter number 6. And we'll just look some in John's Gospel. John does a very good job of revealing the Lord Jesus. John chapter 6 and verse number 36. John chapter 6, verse 36. The words of our Lord Jesus. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. There it is. You've seen me, but you don't believe. That's why they couldn't see the Father. Look down at verse number 64. I'm sorry, John 6, 64. There are some of you, still the words of our Lord, there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Look at this. From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. What happened? They saw Him, but they didn't see the Father. They turned their back. They went the other way. Amen. Just having a physical view of Jesus was not enough to see the Father. To truly see the Father is an act of faith. Amen. Amen. Pharisees, all in this, in the gospel accounts, Pharisees that saw Jesus. Amen. They saw Him in the flesh, but they refused to see Him by faith. Amen. They refused to approach Him by faith. Herod had the opportunity to see Jesus in the flesh. Those wise men came. You remember that? The wise men came and said, we come see the King of the Jews. Herod said, I want to see Him too. He had an opportunity. He could have seen Jesus in the flesh, but he would refuse to see Him by faith. And so as far as I can tell, Herod died in his unbelief and was condemned to destruction. Amen. Many of the Jews looked Jesus right in the face. They heard His sermons. They saw His miracles. And they rejected Him as the Savior that was promised to come. Look in John chapter number 8 and verse number 24. John chapter 8, verse 24. Again, words of our Lord. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto Him, Who art thou? Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him. They understood not that He spake to them of the Father. They understood not that He spake to them of the Father. They saw Him, but they refused to see the Father. Turn to chapter 10, John chapter 10. We've looked at a portion of this already. I read it to you, but we'll see it in the text here. John chapter 10, verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. That's pretty plain. They said, if you just tell us plainly, we'd believe. I've heard people say, preacher, if you could just show me in that Bible, I'd believe it. You can show them till you're blue in the face. They're not going to believe it because they refuse. They see it physically. They refuse to see it by faith. Amen. Let me get back. I told you, and ye believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's the phrase I read to you. Look at verse 31. They saw him, but they didn't see the Father, because then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Why are they going to stone him? Because they saw him in the flesh. They refused to see him by faith. They refused to see the Father. Jump over to the next chapter, chapter 11, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. No, that's not right. That's not John. Matthew, go back to Matthew chapter 11. That's where I messed up. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 20. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. Why? Because they refused, or because they repented not. Amen. I believe faith is necessary for salvation. But I believe repentance is necessary for faith. Amen. You got to repent that you might believe. And it's all through the Bible, it's repent and believe the gospel. So he began to upbraid them because they would not repent. All right, verse number 21. Here's what he said. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Amen. In other words, I'm simply saying there were men, I say men, human people, that saw Jesus in the flesh, refused to see Him by faith, therefore refused to see the Father. They saw Him just as a man. They didn't see Him as the Father. I believe that's why when Nicodemus came to Christ at night and he said, Rabbi, teacher, we know thou art a teacher come from God, the Father, for no man doeth these mighty works thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus said, ye must be born again. Amen. Jesus went right to the heart of the issue. Nicodemus was not seeing the Father because he didn't see Jesus in the right view. If he'd see Jesus in the right view, here we go. Here's that, was it the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but the Father. Amen. What's he saying to that man? He's saying, you're not looking at me right because you're not seeing the Father. If you'd see me right, you'd see the Father. He's trying to tell him Jesus Christ represented God in perfection. Matter of fact, let's go to the cross in your mind. Go to Calvary. There was a lot of people standing around the cross and involved in the things of the cross that did not see the Father. They saw Jesus, but they didn't see the Father because they didn't see by faith. They looked at Jesus with eyes of unbelief. Therefore, they were not saved. Amen. Now, number three, the last point is this. Seeing Jesus by faith is seeing the Father. Go back to John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12, verses 44 and 45. John chapter number 12, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me." You know what? He's tying seeing with believing. Amen. You ever heard people say that phrase? Seeing is believing. We could turn that thing around. Believing is seeing. Amen. You see Him as He really is only when you believe Him as He really is. But when you believe Him as He really is, you can see Him as He really is. Amen. I stated before, Christ came to reveal the Father to us. Amen. That's what He came for, to reveal the Father to us. John chapter number 1, verse 18, Jesus said this, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." Jesus came to declare the Father. He came to present the Father to us that we might believe Him. Amen. John chapter number 1, verses 11 through 14. Let me turn there. John chapter 1, verse 11 through 14. "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory." What was His glory like? "As the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. Amen. They beheld His glory. How is it that they beheld His glory? What does that, how did they do that? They did that by faith. They believed what He said. They believed what was said about Him. Amen. They believed that. They believed on His name. Verse number 12 says that. They believed on His name. Amen. That allowed them to see the Father by seeing the Son. Amen. Do you remember when Jesus was carried up to the temple after Mary's time of purification, days of purification were over? They went up to the temple. Simeon's an old man. Simeon's waiting to see the consolation of Israel. Amen. Being told by the Lord that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Look in Luke chapter number 2 is that account. I'm going to turn there and read you three verses. Luke chapter 2 verse 28 through 30. "Then he took him up in his arms." This is Simeon. When he saw the baby, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." Look at verse 30. "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." What had his eyes seen? His eyes had seen a baby. But when he saw that baby, he knew the promises. He saw that baby. He knew the prophecies. And he believed the prophecies were fulfilled on that baby. Therefore, he saw more than a baby. He saw salvation. What salvation? Salvation that comes from God the Father. He saw all that. Amen. By faith. Amen. He recognized that he was seeing more than a baby. He was looking in faith. Amen. He believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah. He saw this baby as the Son of God. When those wise men came and found the Lord, I mentioned how that they came to Herod first. Matthew's gospel tells us about it. They came to Herod first and said, "We've come seeking Him that is King of the Jews." How did they know that that baby was going to be King of the Jews? They knew it by faith.
Right.
Amen. They'd heard the prophecies. They believed God's Word. So by faith, they knew this was the King of the Jews. They knew that they could believe God's Word. So when they looked into the face of that little boy in Bethlehem, that little boy in Israel, he's no longer in a stable in Bethlehem, he's in a house now, and they find that little boy, not a baby anymore, but a little boy, a lad of a boy, there in that house, and they looked in his face, you know what they saw? They saw more than a little boy. They saw the Father through the eyes of faith. Amen. Amen. Let me give you one last account, the account of Christ on the cross again, Luke chapter number 23. If you will, turn there. Luke chapter number 23. I'm talking about, our Lord said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But a lot of people that saw Him didn't see the Father. So what does it take to see Him? You've got to look with eyes of faith. You've got to believe what the Bible says about Jesus. Amen. You got to believe what the Bible says about God.
Amen.
Amen. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 39 is where I'll pick up my reading. You know our Lord famously hung between two thieves. Amen. Amen. Famously hung between two thieves. Look at verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, if Thou be the Christ, save Thyself and us. So here's a man that saw Jesus in the flesh, but he didn't see the Father. All he saw was another man hanging on a cross beside him, as if there was nothing more to him. Amen. He knew what was said about him, but he didn't believe it. And so he mocked what was said about the Lord. If Thou be the Christ, save Thyself and us. Look at verse number 40. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God? Who's that? That's the Father. Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly. Boy, there's a lot packed in that. Here's the man confessing his sinfulness, and that he didn't deserve any salvation. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Not only acknowledged his own sinfulness, he acknowledged the sinlessness of this man. Amen. He saw a man hanging, but he saw more than a man. He saw an innocent man, but he believed more than just an innocent man hanging on the cross. Verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, famous words right there. Praise God. He said, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. Amen. Remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. I'm going to stop there. You know the promise our Lord said. Here's a man. One man saw only another man hanging on a cross. This man saw more than a man hanging on a cross. Amen. He knew somehow that Jesus was coming into a kingdom. Amen. He knew somehow that Jesus was destined to sit on a throne. And He said, when you get there, think of me. Remember me. All right? Obviously, He knew that throne was more than a physical throne, because Christ's physical life was about over. Amen. He probably knew. I don't think it'd be a stretch to believe that He knew that it was a spiritual throne. It was a spiritual kingdom that our Lord was going into. Amen. But let me ask you this. How does a man ascend to the throne if he doesn't have an army to cast down the king that's on the throne? Best way I know, for a man to ascend to the throne, if he doesn't have an army to cast down the king, is that he inherits the throne. He's the son of the king that's on the throne.
Amen.
And so it blessed me when I got to thinking, this thief on the cross looked at Jesus Christ and he recognized Him not just as a man. He recognized, you're going to the throne. I know who's on the throne. God's on the throne. And I'm getting what I deserve. He's holy. He's righteous. I'm not going to complain about that. By the way, that's where sinners got to get to. Sinners got to realize they are convicted of their sin. Conviction means you're pronounced guilty of your sin. That's what conviction is. Pronounced guilty. You've been caught in the act. You've been caught red-handed, as they say. You've been caught in your sin. But you recognize there's one there that is worthy to pardon you and is willing to pardon you, thank God. This man saw the Son and recognized Him, that He's headed to the kingdom. He's headed to the throne. And he saw this man doesn't have an army. He's not going to cast God down. So how's he going to get there? This must be the Son of the King. Amen. So he looked at the Son and he saw the Father. He recognized God for who He is. Amen. Now, can I say this in conclusion? I said there were some that saw Him that didn't see the Father, because all they saw was physical. All they saw was flesh. They didn't see by faith. In order to see the Father through seeing the Son, you've got to see it with eyes of faith. But can I say to you that it does not require seeing Jesus in the flesh in order to see the Father. Amen. It does not require seeing Jesus in the flesh in order to be able to see the Father. Jesus said that Abraham looked for his day, and you know what he said? And he saw it and was glad. Amen. How did Abraham see the day of Christ's crucifixion? Well, you know he saw him on that mountain when he was getting ready to slay Isaac, and he saw that ram caught in a thicket. Amen. By his horns, that thicket, I believe, was briars and thorns. He's caught by his horns in that thicket. Amen. And Abraham saw that ram, and he knew that was God's provision. And he called it is it Jehovah Jireh? He said, "In the mouth of the Lord, it shall be seen." He knew that's what God's going to do one day with his own son. Amen. Abraham didn't see Christ in the flesh. He saw him by faith. And he saw the Father. Amen. Moses, Hebrews chapter 11 says that he saw him who is invisible. How did Moses see that? He believed God. Amen. He believed God. He took him at his word. And by faith, he could see what mankind could not see. Amen. I ask you this question. Are you willing to look towards heaven? Are you willing to look to Jesus and thus look to God for salvation? I'll talk about salvation, for example. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 12, here's how we're to live our life. Looking unto Jesus. That's going to help you in your life. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's how you make it through this world. That's how you get saved and get into the next world, looking unto Jesus. Not looking unto yourself, not looking unto religion, not looking into tradition, looking to Jesus. That's your only hope. And God the Father said this in Isaiah 50 or 45 verse 22. He said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else." How are you going to see the Father? You got to look to Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. I'm asking the question, have you seen the Father by seeing the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you seen the Father? Do you have hope of salvation? That hope is not in a prayer you prayed, in a card you signed, in a church you joined, in a baptismal pool you was ducked in. Your salvation is not in works, although they be good works. Salvation is only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you for allowing us that are saved to have seen the Father by seeing the Son. Thank you for that perfect representation of God the Father. Lord, I pray that you'd help now somebody this evening in the house of God, unsaved, might see you with eyes of faith. Lord, would you open their eyes, their blinded eyes? Would you remove the scales? Would you remove the hindrances? Let the light of the glorious gospel shine through unto them, that they too might be saved before it is too late. Help us that are saved to point people to Jesus. Help us to relish in the opportunity to tell people about the Father by telling them about the Son. Lord, you get glory, we pray, in this invitation time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. If the Lord spoke to you and you need to come, would you obey the Lord?